Home Modification and Maintenance. This chapter examines issues regarding ADHC's administration and implementation of home modification and maintenance services. Issues regarding long waiting periods in the program are examined, including the impact of a lack of funding and a shortage of occupational therapists. The quality of work completed through the program is also examined, which includes the use of unlicensed builders to complete home modifications. Home Modification and Maintenance. 8.1. Many inquiry participants expressed concern regarding the ADHC-funded home modification and maintenance program. Key issues identified include the long waiting period experienced by service users, quality of work completed, use of unlicensed builders, and the insufficient level of funding provided. 8.2. Ms. Stacey Shepherd-Smith, Executive Officer, New South Wales Home Modification and Maintenance Services State Council, New South Wales HMMS State Council, described the purpose of the modification and maintenance service industry. The home modification and maintenance and services industry provides support to clients. We modify people's homes so that they may remain in their homes and remain independent, but we also provide support to other HACC, home and community care services, so that they may go in and provide care services. A modified bathroom will assist home care, for example, and going in and providing personal care services to clients in their homes. We have three levels of service provision within the home modification and maintenance services industry. There is level 1, 2, and 3. The work is reflected on monetary bands and work progresses through the system according to the cost and the level of complexity. 1.8.3. The different levels of home modification that are funded for home modification and maintenance services were also described by Ms. Shepherd-Smith. Level 1 is between the value of $0 and $7,500. Level 2 is work that is more complex and is between the value of $5,000 to $25,000, and level 3, which is for the clients who have high complex care needs, is for the value of $20,000 and over. 2.8.4. Mr. Sean Lomas, Policy and Advocacy Manager, Spinal Cord Injuries Australia, expressed that living in the community with a disability is very tenuous, referring to it as like a seesaw. Things balance and you exist, you can do things, you can go out, and you can engage in employment, you can travel, or whatever it is you wish to do, but if anything tips that seesaw slightly offline, then you have got troubles, and that can be shoddy modifications, it can be care staff not turning up for rostered hours, it can be a whole host of things. 3.8.5. In his submission, Mr. Greg Killeen, a service user, identified that there is a lack of funding for home modifications, and that the budget for level 3 home modifications for 2009/10 was exhausted by December 2009. Many people with a disability that live in their own home or in private rental properties may require major home modifications, such as installing ramps, renovating a bathroom/toilet, remodeling a kitchen and a laundry, widening doorways including wider doors, etc. The HomeAid scheme, level 3, provides funding greater than $20,000 for such renovations, but, due to the lack of appropriate New South Wales government funding to meet the needs of eligible applicants, the program exhausted the 2009/10 Level 3 budget prior to December 2009. 4.8.6. The importance of home modification and the impact that insufficient funding for the program has on the lives of people with disability was described by Mr. Killeen, who is also a policy and advocacy officer at Spinal Cord Injuries Australia. He explained that the lack of funding in this program results in some people with disability compromising on the appropriateness of accommodation they move into after leaving hospital. This includes living in an unmodified houses that requires them to be carried in and out of the house. The home modification scheme, where people own their own home and they need to have it modified, if there is a lack of funding to modify the home, and people do not have their own means of funding to modify it, there can be a requirement for them to be transitioned to another type of accessible accommodation before they can go home. We are aware of some people going home when the home is not modified and making do, getting carried up and down a few stairs to get in and out of the home. They want to be home, they want to be out of hospital, and they are well enough to leave hospital, but they have to make that sort of compromise, which is unfortunate. 5.8.7. The following case study was provided by the author of submission 99. It illustrates some of the challenges faced by a service user and her partner When they required a home modification, the home modification did not respond adequately to the needs of this couple. Case study, name suppressed. 6. Jane uses a wheelchair for mobility. She and her husband Simon purchased a villa and applied to HMMS to assist in modifying the home. 3 months after the application, a note arrived to assess Jane's requirements. On receipt of her report, the local HMMS team assessed the cost of the modifications required and negotiated with Jane and Simon, based on their combined income, what percentage of costs they would be required to pay for modifications. Due to the high costs of the modifications, the decision was escalated to a regional body for approval. Work began on modifications 9 months post-application, and this time Simon lifted Jane to and from the inaccessible bath, or over the shower hop and up and down the front steps. As access was difficult from the front, Jane and Simon agreed that access should be provided through the rear kitchen door. However, the HMMS assessor decided that the laundry door would provide less costly access. Jane and Simon pointed out that due to Jane's short stature and the narrow wheelchair, Jane was capable of accessing the house from the laundry, even though her friends in larger wheelchairs could not. Further, for Jane to get to the laundry door, a path would be needed the length of the house, and if it was not covered, Jane would be soaked in heavy rain. After negotiations, it was decided by HMMS that a lift from the garage to the kitchen was needed. This necessitated the loss of the car space in the tandem garage, and Jane and Simon are required to pay for annual maintenance of the lift. The bathroom also required modification. The shower hob was removed, and non-slip tiles replaced the old tiles in the shower. Jane pointed out that she would rather have one set of tiles across the floor, and that non-slip tiles were unnecessary as she used a shower chair. She agreed to pay additional costs to ensure the bathroom met her requirements, but the new tiles were only applied in the shower area. As a concession to the couple, the entire bathroom was tiled, rather than just the shower. A mirror was provided to suit Jane's height. Simon noted it was too low for him to use. The argument from the builder was that the bathroom was modified for Jane, not him. A handrail was needed so that Jane could transfer to the toilet. The builder placed it where the OT had determined it should go, based on the Australian standard. Jane pointed out that she could not reach the handrail due to her short stature, but the OT had to be called before the builder would adjust the rail to a height she could use. Because a lift was installed through the garage and there is a step from the rear of the garage to the backyard, Jane can still not access the yard herself. HMMS provided a portable ramp that Simon could lay down when his wife needed to access the yard. No means were provided for Jane to access the yard independently. The kitchen was not modified to meet Jane's need. The bathroom leaked and needed repair, as did the lift following a breakdown. 8.8. Mr. Colleen identified that the lack of a whole-of-government approach to the provision of home modification services impacts the delivery of this service. Mr. Colleen identified that service users are required to coordinate services from different agencies for equipment, home modification, personal care and community care. The receipt of these services is sometimes dependent on other services, so it can be a very challenging system for service users to navigate. Often the equipment and the home modification and the care are all provided by the government. You apply for the home modifications to this department, equipment from that department, which is health and not ADHC, and the personal care support from ADHC. Instead of having a whole of government approach and fixing the problem in one go, some people have the threat of their service being withdrawn because the bathroom is not right, or they now need a piece of equipment that they are waiting 6 to 12 months for from PADP Program of Appliances for Disabled People, which is run through Enable New South Wales, which is one of the services that people with disability and older people will need to access possibly at some stage. Some people have difficulty trying to get support in the community when they are dealing with different departments from seeking funding. Often they have all got different eligibility requirements. 7.8.9. Insufficient choice and a decreasing number of home modification service providers available in regional New South Wales was also pointed out to the committee by Mr. Lomas. In terms of regional choice, it is certainly very complex. Greg and I are in the process at the moment of writing up a regional issues paper, where we are polling all of our members out in the regions and trying to get details coming in around that. But it certainly looks as if choice is not really an option, just simply because there is not the number of agencies willing to go out there. Certain agencies that do have presence out in the regions at the moment are starting to pull themselves back because it just is not profitable, and they cannot keep themselves going with the number of staff they need out there to provide a decent service. So in terms of choice, I would not have thought there is really that much choice out there. Service quality. 8.10. 0. The poor quality of services provided through the home modification and maintenance program was identified as a concern by some inquiry participants. Mr. Lomas identified that some home modifications are so poor that the service users cannot get into some rooms of their house. We are aware of a number of companies that have done some very poor modifications to the homes of some people, as a result of which the people in regional areas cannot even get into the rooms or down the hallways. I do not want to name the company, but as reported through our regional offices, they have been having all sorts of problems with people who undertake certain work, which is all paid for by the home modifications scheme. 8.11. Using unlicensed builders was suggested as a possible reason for poor quality work. Mr. Steve Malvern, Vice Chairperson, New South Wales HMMS State Council and Project Manager, New South Wales Strata Wide Level 3 Project, stated that a building license is required by law for home modifications that exceed the value of $1,000. Mr. Malvern told the committee that 40 out of the approximately 106 home modification service providers do not have a building license. This is one of the biggest issues we have. If I may, you questioned the quality assurance program that State Council runs. The reason behind that is that essentially we are all builders. By law, we are meant to have a builder's license to undertake the type of work we do when the value of work exceeds $1,000. Unfortunately, of the 106 odd home modification services out there, there are approximately 40 odd services that continue to remain unlicensed. Basically, they do not have the technical expertise to undertake the work that they are funded to do. This has been brought up with ADHC over many years, and they continue to fund these projects. In 2006, under the Building Act, we must provide a statutory warranty on all the work we do up to a period of 7 years. 9.8.12. Ms. Shepherd-Smith also explained that there are 40 home modification service providers that are not licensed under the Office of Fair Trading licensing requirements. 10.8.13. The New South Wales HMMS State Council annual report identified that unlicensed home modification and maintenance services receive the largest amount of New South Wales HMMS State Council Quality Assurance Rectification Program (CARP) funding. It also stated that there are many other significant issues regarding the use of unlicensed home modification and maintenance services. 38% of applications received in the 2008 to 2009 FY were to rectify poor workmanship by unlicensed HMMS. The clear absence of technical expertise resulted in situations where no clear scope of works could be provided, contractors were overquoting, and a lack of supervision of contractors resulted in poor workmanship. The largest allocation of CARP funding in the 2008 to 2009 FY was to the Riverina-Murray region to rectify major works completed unlicensed HMMS. The total sum of $37,545.46. Therefore, as the data shows, there is a direct correlation between unlicensed HMMS and their increased reliance on CARP funding. The New South Wales HMMS State Council cannot stress the importance of the resolution of licensing in the HMMS industry. If HMMS were adequately licensed and funded to employ builders, resulting in the building of technical expertise in their services, the drain on CARP funding would be substantially minimized. 11.8.14. The committee was told by Mr. Malvern that service providers who participate in tender processes to provide home modification and maintenance services are not asked as part of the process whether they are licensed to undertake the building work. At no time, not even as part of the tendering process for providing you money, do they ADHC ask the question whether or not your service is licensed to undertake the work they are funding you to do. At the same time, State Council are running around providing a quality assurance program, which is basically fixing up a lot of the work that has been done, and defective work that has been done in some cases, by home modification services. We continue to have this battle with ADHC, so that they gain some understanding of the type of work we actually do. A lot of the work is complex and not simplistic. We do have cranes in streets. We are lifting lifts and taking roofs off houses and putting lifts in residential homes. We are doing major works in some cases. Yet, I do not believe they understand the complexity and the reasoning around us having to provide some consumer protection. 12.8.15. In response to the claim that many service providers funded through the home modification and maintenance program use unlicensed builders, Ms. Lauren Murray, Deputy Director General, ADHC, stated, "I understand what they, New South Wales HMMS State Council, are saying, in the sense that each individual's home modification service provider does not necessarily have a licensed builder employed with them, but there are a number of mechanisms in place to ensure that is covered off." 13.8.16. Ms. Murray advised that under HACC guidelines for home modification services, service providers are required to comply with all state legislation and guidelines, including the Home Building Act. 14. She also stated that TE service providers themselves are required to indicate that they are complying with relevant legislation and guidelines, which does indicate that there is a requirement that builders are to be licensed. 15.8.17. The claim that approximately 40% of builders were unlicensed was also questioned by Ms. Murray, who clarified that there is a total of 98 service providers, rather than 106, and that of the 98 service providers, 96 indicated in their annual compliance return that they comply 100% with the requirements, including legislative requirements. 16.8.18. Ms. Murray acknowledged that a number of service providers do not employ licensed builders, however most home modification service providers subcontract their work, and it is a requirement that they use licensed builders to do that. 8.19. Ms. Murray also explained that quality technical officers are funded to provide quality assurance on home modification works. In addition, we fund at level 2 and level 3 the degree of work and the size and scale of the work. We fund at both regional and state levels quality assurance technical officers who are required to check on the quality and provide advice and assistance around quality assurance in respect to the works. In addition to that, all local governments require certifications of works qualified people, the same as for any of modifications work. 17.8.20. Another factor impacting on the overall quality of the service was identified by Mr. Malvern, who stated that with the high staff turnover rates in ADHC, we are continually basically explaining our service to any new staff. Mr. Malvern stressed the importance of ADHC retaining staff with knowledge of each service that they're applying. We had to explain to ADHC, in pretty much the same way we did here today, about the levels of funding, the services and all the rest. It is not uncommon for us to have to do exactly the same thing to ADHC, which is funding us. I guess what we are looking for is somebody within the department who fully understands the projects that it is funding. 18.8.21. The New South Wales HMMS State Council regulates the sector through the Quality Assurance Program. However, the State Council advised that funding issues in this program may result in client outcomes being compromised. The New South Wales HMMS State Council has implemented the Quality Assurance Program for all major modifications, as these works are exempt from homeowners' warranty insurance. No further funding has been received to continue the CAP program and monitor these works. Client outcomes may potentially be severely compromised due to the absence of the Quality Assurance Program. 19.8.22. Mr. Colleen recommended that an urgent review of the Home Modification and Maintenance Program is required. New South Wales Government undertake an urgent review of the HOMED scheme, audit of all outstanding applications that have received an assessment and quotation, as well as review all current applications that have not received an assessment as yet. ADHC should seek funding from Treasury to clear the backlog of assessed and quoted home modifications, as well as yet to be assessed home modifications. 20.8.23. Mr. Jim Moore, Chief Executive, ADHC, told the committee that a review of home modifications is being implemented to look at equity of funding and improvements to the delivery of these services. 21. Ms. Murray further advised that the evaluation, which will address issues of quality assurance in the program, is expected to be completed in early 2011. 22.8.24. The HMMS State Council submission acknowledged the review that is taking place, but reiterated the importance of addressing waiting lists and the funding shortfall. 23. Waiting lists. 8.25. Issues regarding waiting lists and lengthy waiting periods were also identified as a concern in the home modification and maintenance services. Mr. Lomas told the committee that ADHC does not keep a waiting list for this program, or require funded organizations to communicate the unmet need indicated by waiting lists maintained by these services. Mr. Lomas criticized ADHC for not using this information to correctly forward plan a budget to meet that need and meet the people that are waiting. 24. 8.26. Issues with waiting lists are examined in more detail in Chapter 5. 8.27. Ms. Shepherd-Smith acknowledged that the ADHC minimum data set refers to past episodes of service, and it does not capture funding shortfalls and waiting lists and unmet need in the Home Modification and Maintenance Program. 25. 8.28. The committee heard that the requirement that an occupational therapist to complete an assessment before home modification can be arranged was identified as a reason for the delay in providing home modification services by Ms. Ruthley, Service Coordinator and Builder Blue Mountains Home Modification and Maintenance Service, BMHMMS. This assessment will result in recommendations and specifications being prepared which will detail the type of work required, egg grab, rail and shower, and the exact dimensions and location appropriate for the client, egg on shower wall opposite the taps, 800 mm from the floor. This report is essential to ensure the modification will actually work for the client and not put them at risk of injury. 26. 8.29. Due to the lack of recurrent funding or brokerage funding available for the BMHMMS to employ an occupational therapist, Ms. Lay advised that applications are generally referred to community health intake for this assessment, where waiting lists are very long. The waiting list for this is frequently 8 months or longer. Recently, the service trialed brokering private OTS, occupational therapists, using non-recurrent funding. This had a negative outcome for the clients and the service, as the private OTS were not able to do full assessments, non-recurrent funding not for full assessments, and had little local knowledge. Also, the demand was so significant the waiting list was moved to the private OTS. 8.30. In an attempt to alleviate the length of the waiting list for home modification, Ms. Lay told the committee that the BMHMS has recently accessed brokerage funding to hire private occupational therapists, because their waiting list had reached up to 18 months. 27. Ms. Lay recommended that either SWSAHS, Southwest Sydney Area Health Service, needs appropriate funding for OTS, or the MHMMS requires funding to engage an OT with the appropriate skills and connections. 28. 8.31. Ms. Shepherd-Smith also advised the committee that there are long waiting periods to receive an assessment in the Home Modification and Maintenance Program. We have two competing scenarios in New South Wales. In the metropolitan area, we have a huge number of OTS that we can draw from. A lot of them are young new graduates coming out of university, and so they are quite inexperienced, but there is a high demand for service because of the population, so there are huge waiting lists. Sometimes people can wait anywhere from 12 to 18 months for an OT assessment. In the regional and rural areas of New South Wales, we have a very limited pool of OTs. In some areas, there are just no OTs available at all. 29. 8.32. Ms. Shepherd-Smith explained that part of the longest waiting period was for an occupational therapist assessment to take place, because the occupational therapists sit within New South Wales Health, and they have competing priorities and clients on waiting lists. 30. The serious shortage of occupational therapists in rural and remote areas of New South Wales further exacerbates the waiting period in those areas. 31. 8.33. Another factor affecting waiting lists that was identified by Ms. Lay is the inability of service users to make a client contribution to the cost of their home modification. The service works out the approximate cost of the work and calculates a client contribution which recovers the cost of the materials and a subsidised labour charge. This process is in accordance with the New South Wales Home Modification Guidelines. The labour rate is determined by the service committee and reflects the economic capacity of the client group. It is increasingly common for clients to be unable to make the contribution, yet work cannot be refused, so the job sits on the list till funding can be found. 32. 8.34. Ms. Shepherd-Smith explained that it would be useful for an occupational therapist to be funded for each Level 2 service. One of the things we would like to see, and which we continue to ask for, is that an occupational therapist should sit with each Level 2 service, so that they get some expertise in the type of work we are dealing with, which is the work over $7,500, and that we get some consistency in their referrals. 33. 8.35. Mr. Colleen suggested that streamlining the application process for home modification services, so that only one application was required from service users, would improve the current process. This would reduce the need for separate applications with all the administration and bureaucracy that goes with that. 34. 8.36. To clear the existing waiting list, Spinal Cord Injuries Australia stated that a 100% increase in funding is required, and that this increase is to be implemented as a priority. 35. Committee comment 8.37. Many people depend on the home modification and maintenance service to enable them to live in their own homes. The committee sympathises with the many challenges faced by both service providers and service users in accessing these services. The committee acknowledges the numerous issues that currently exist in the home modification and maintenance program. 8.38. The committee recognises that the lack of occupational therapists employed by home modification and maintenance services and the long waiting periods for New South Wales Health occupational therapy assessments results in delays for service users accessing this program. 8.39. The committee is concerned by the lack of certainty regarding the use of licensed builders in the home modification and maintenance program, as the New South Wales HMMS State Council is responsible for, amongst other things, implementing the Quality Assurance Program. The committee believes that this organisation has a strong understanding of issues affecting the program, such as the use of unlicensed builders. 8.40. The committee accepts that ADHC requires service providers to indicate whether they comply with relevant legislation through the annual compliance return. However, based on the evidence received during the inquiry, particularly the uncertainty expressed by the New South Wales HMMS State Council regarding compliance with the Home Building Act, the committee is not assured that this process provides adequate certainty of compliance. The increased risk to service users resulting from this is noted as a significant issue by the committee. 8.41. The committee believes that ADHC should address the issues identified by the New South Wales HMMS State Council to provide improved assurance that service providers that are funded to complete home modifications are all either licensed or use licensed builders as subcontractors. Service users, their carers and families deserve assurance that the work that is being completed on their homes complies with applicable legislation. 8.42. The committee has not received sufficient evidence to be able to determine whether all service providers are either licensed or use licensed builders, and recommends that this issue is examined and addressed in detail as a priority by ADHC through the current review. 8.43. The committee believes that service providers should be well supported to provide home modification services, including having a mechanisms to report the level of unmet need in the programs to ADHC, and having access to ADHC funding staff to understand the programs they fund and manage. The committee recommends that this also is addressed through the current review. Recommendation 1. That the New South Wales Government ensure that the current evaluation of the ADHC-funded home modification and maintenance program includes consultation with stakeholders and includes review of funding levels and shortages, waiting lists, including for occupational therapist assessments, potential non-compliance with the Home Building Act 1989, including the use of unlicensed builders, options to streamline the application process for home modification services, so that only one application is required from service users for assessment, quotation and home modification, quality evaluation of services provided through the program, options for home modification and maintenance service providers to provide waiting list information to ADHC, for example regarding unmet need, review of all outstanding applications that have received an assessment and quotation but have not been completed, that the evaluation and ADHC's response to the recommendations is published on ADHC's website once finalised. 1. Ms. Stacey Shepherd-Smith, Executive Officer, New South Wales Home Modification and Maintenance Services State Council, Evidence, 3 September 2010, p. 12. 2. Ms. Shepherd-Smith, Evidence, 3 September 2010, p. 12. 3. Mr. Sean Lomas, Policy and Advocacy Manager, Spinal Cord Injuries Australia, Evidence, 26 August 2010, p. 40. 4. Submission 42-8, Mr. Greg Killeen, p. 2. 5. Mr. Greg Killeen, Policy and Advocacy Officer, Spinal Cord Injuries Australia, Evidence, 26 August 2010, p. 37. 6. Submission 99, Name Suppressed, p. 5. 7. Mr. Killeen, Evidence, 26 August 2010, p. 40. 8. Mr. Lomas, Evidence, 26 August 2010, p. 39. 9. Mr. Steve Malvern, Vice Chairperson, New South Wales Home Modification and Maintenance Services State Council and Project Manager, New South Wales Statewide Level 3 Project Manager, Evidence, 3 September 2010, P18 10. Mr. Shepherd Smith, Evidence, 3 September 2010, P19 11. New South Wales Home Modification and Maintenance Services, State Council Annual Report 2008/09, P17 12. Mr. Malvern, Evidence, 3 September 2010, P18 13. Ms. Lauren Murray, Deputy Director General, Aging, Disability and Home Care, Evidence, 27 September 2010, P1 14. Ms. Murray, Evidence, 27 September 2010, P1 15. Ms. Murray, Evidence, 27 September 2010, P2 16. Ms. Murray, Evidence, 27 September 2010, P2 17. Ms. Murray, Evidence, 27 September 2010, P1 18. Mr. Malvern, Evidence, 3 September 2010, P20 19. Submission 34, Ms. Stacey Shepherd Smith, New South Wales Home Modification and Maintenance Services, State Council, P3 20. Submission 42-8, P2 21. Submission 31, Mr. Jim Moore, Chief Executive, Aging, Disability and Home Care, Attachment, P143-22. Ms. Murray, Evidence, 27 September 2010, PP1-2. 23. Submission 34, P2 24. Mr. Lomas, Evidence, 26 August 2010, P41 25. Ms. Shepherd Smith, Evidence, 3 September 2010, P20 26. Submission 28, Ms. Ruthley, Service Coordinator and Builder Blue Mountains, Blue Mountains Home Modification and Maintenance Service, P1 27. Ms. Lay, Evidence, 3 September 2010, P14 28. Submission 28, PP1-2 29. Ms. Shepherd Smith, Evidence, 3 September 2010, P14 30. Ms. Shepherd Smith, Evidence, 3 September 2010, P13 31. Submission 34, P3 32. Submission 28, P2 33. Ms. Shepherd Smith, Evidence, 3 September 2010, P15 34. Mr. Colleen, Evidence, 26 August 2010, P41 35. Submission 67, Mr. Sean Lomas, Policy and Advocacy Manager, and Mr. Greg Killeen, Senior Policy Officer, Spinal Cord Injuries Australia, P12.